It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
All right, so finished South Africa 27, the British and Irish Lions 9 in their second test on Saturday afternoon. To look back on this, delighted to welcome Fiona Hayes back to the show. Fiona, good morning to you.
Good. How are you getting on?
Yeah,
great to be here.
Good stuff. So, Saturday, why did we see, scoreline-wise, such a comprehensive win for the Springboks?
For me, to be honest, the thing that disappointed me most about the game was the lack of ambition in backline attack in general with the Lions team. I mean, there were times in the first half, in the first maybe 20 minutes, when we had the South Africans under the pump, maybe 5, 6, 7 meters out, 10 meters out, and then when we got our penalties, we seemed to go for the post, which some people might agree with, but I think we really had them physically in those open 20 minutes. And we didn't go for it. We didn't take those chances and back our line out, our scrum to go over and get us a try. And it was just that kind of lack of ambition in general for the whole game that really disappointed me. I think a lot of talk about Harris in the centre at 13. Looking back at the game, I think he had 3 carries with ball in hand with 0 metres gained. For a 13, that's really unheard of in a game of rugby.
That's interesting, because it seems that the immediate scapegoats after the game, Fiona, were the back three. But from what you're saying there, the entire back line is to blame.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and kind of at times I was kind of disappointed with Biggers. I mean, we looked at Andre Pollard. He literally pulled all the tricks out of the bag at times. He's kicking for the 2 tries. His grubber was absolutely excellent. And that was execution, but he also tried these things throughout the game. And I think maybe Bigger was a little bit too conservative for me when looking at the game.
That's interesting. So when it comes to Dan Biggar then, and you were having a conversation with him during the week, is it just a suggestion to be brave? Because in one way, Fiona, I can kind of see why you'd go for three, because it seemed the first day out, every penalty was worth its weight in gold. I don't think too many people expected, especially even at halftime on Saturday, to see those South African wingers get activated and to score a couple of tries they did in really fluid fashion. You know, that like when you go in at halftime with 9 points on the board, you start to think to yourself, that's an all right scoreline. Clock that up again in the second half and you might have a winning score.
Yeah, I just think like going into it, I mean, they played exactly similarly to how they played in the first test. You're not going to go out and meet a South African team that you're going to do the exact same thing to run over 2 weeks in a row. You know what I mean? I know there was a game plan there and they stuck to that. But tactically, I'd like to see that changed up. For me, when Biggar hit the post and, you know, I think in the second half from that penalty, from there, that's when I started to see a shift in how the Springboks played. And even after that first try, when that first try went in, I thought we'd kind of start maybe trying things out, really putting the pressure back line attack wise, getting the ball wide. And we just didn't see that. I know a lot of people talked about how poor the back three were, and they certainly were at times. I mean, there was 11 air duel battles, and I think in the second half alone they lost 9 of them, which isn't really a great statistic. And I know, like, you might look back and you'd look at the video footage and you analyze that, and maybe that mightn't have happened the week before, and it's just a tiny little margin of errors, but for me, they were just so conservative, even when they were going down points and the scoreline was drifting away from them.
It's like that aerial battle is really interesting, Fiona. Like, and he brought it up there. They got hammered in that department. And like, can that just happen to a team if you are sent out to play conservatively? That when it comes to those one-to-one battles in midair, the opposition are just more up for it. They've got a more aggressive game plan, and you're sort of not defeatist attitude, but something resembling that actually drips down all the way into those one-to-one battles and you start to lose them.
That's exactly it. It's a mentality game that starts to become after you lose one or two, and they keep and we saw the Springboks then decided let's go for it, let's put the foot in the juggler. But it wasn't even those duel battles. If you saw the line speed of the chasers in general across the pitch, even if they didn't get the ball, I think there was one time I was watching, and Willie LaRue who had an absolutely magical game, put an up and under, and he slipped halfway through the kick. it was actually the chase of the pack, the whole South African team, to put the pressure on, that they absolutely gained yards. And in that first phase, they obviously didn't get the ball back. It went too long, but it was the line speed had them up on the 22. And then that's when the error kicked in for the Lions. So it's even just across the board, their mentality, their work rate, their want to win that ball, just heightened with every time the Lions lost one of those battles in the air.
You're listening to Fiona Hayes talking about the second test of the British and Irish Lions. Just to remind you that we will have live radio commentary of the Lions' decisive third and final test against the Springboks this Saturday. Brian O'Driscoll and Keith Wood were on duty for us last weekend, and you can hear all of that analysis and reaction in the OTB Rugby podcast channel or Off the Ball on YouTube. Our Lions coverage brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. So Fiona, what did we see differently from South Africa? Why did we see a more incisive version of their attack?
Attacking wise, I think they were just very, very, very clinical at times. And, you know, I spoke about obviously Pollard trying different things, but in general, it was kind of when they had advantage for penalties that they tried these things, and they literally up to that, their line speed was much more aggressive. Their want in the second half, but in the backline attack, I think the hands were clinical. It just had an outstanding game. You know, he hasn't been talked up a lot, I don't think, in the media, but just watching him and D'Alande in the centres are really, really clicking. And I think that's magic, or that's what's happening in being able to get that ball wide, and Willie LaRue as well coming into that line of attack. They just looked far more creative, but also very clinical in that creativity.
Fiona, when you look at that South African bench even as well, and the strength and depth, like, of course the Lions squad is strong in its own right, but I'm just looking at the guys who came off the bench for the Springboks the weekend. You have Dieger, unbelievable when he came on in the 55th minute. Trevor Nyakane came off the bench as well. Like, and those subs for South Africa made a huge difference. Like, are you looking at this Lions team and maybe, I guess, questioning their strength and depth in comparison with the Springboks?
Yeah, and it's a Lions team. We shouldn't even be questioning that, because you're dealing with like players from a few nations that are there that have played games together now. They've had a good few games together that should be chomping at the bit to come on. I know there's a lot of talk about that South African bomb squad, and I mean, it was the changing of the games at the time, but for me, it was the set pieces where the Lions were kind of let down, and that front row coming off and seeing in the last 10 minutes again, like, international front rows, you know, shouldn't be getting walked back 5 metres in a scrum. And that just happened. They literally tore the scrum apart when the changes were made. And that really shocked me. And you spoke about Lou Dieger. He just came on and dominated that line out, and his physicality around the pitch. It was strange for me to see. I know he has played in the past for them to take Visa off and put Mustard in the back row. I was wondering, okay, what are they going for? But it obviously really, really worked in that set piece area for them. But it also worked in carries around the pitch. They were gaining, they were getting gain line. They were just working really hard for one another.
Like, we know Rassie Erasmus has kind of created this us versus the world thing with the Springboks. But there was, I think it was Warren Gatlander, certainly one of the Lions, talking after the match of the weekend. And he says, this is going to be a wounded Lions team now heading into the final test. And they've taken a dent, and they need to put that right. Like, are you expecting a bit of a backlash from the Lions this weekend?
I'm expecting a bit of a backlash, but I don't know where they're exactly going to bring that. I mean, they physically were, when I looked at the start of this game, the first 10 minutes, I really, really was blown away by how dominant the Lions were, how physical they came out. They were ready to go. I was expecting, now it was an absolute battle of a match, but it just seemed to fade. And when they weren't getting gain line with their carries, it was like they didn't know where to go with the ball. I'm just wondering, what have they a plan B? Are they going to come out and play a similar style of rugby? There was a lot of kicking. Even when they were losing those aerial battles, they still kept with that kicking. So I suppose if we can see a different change in tactics, you know, our South Africa, we know what they can bring. They bring that physical strength, but they've also polished off backline moves. Their wingers, their back three are firing now. So for me, if the Lions stick to the same game plan they have in the last two games, I think South Africa will easily deal with that. So if we can change it up and maybe bring in, you know, as we said earlier, a lot of talk about the back three, I think there definitely needs to be a shake up there and maybe a couple in the pack as well. It's possible, but I think tactically there needs to be a change by Gatland.
Will Rassie Erasmus be thinking, my master plan worked?
he's big long video. Yeah. I would say so. I mean, he took the pressures, you know, it's like a Jose thing to Mourinho thing to do. He took the pressures off the players, everybody, media, everyone was talking about this hour and 4 minute long video or however long it was. You know, I'm sure you've discussed it already. It wasn't great for the game, but obviously his side came out. There was less pressure in them. They were able to just focus. Referees, I thought the referees were good. Our ref was good at the weekend, but there was a few 50-50 decisions that actually went South Africa's way. So you can say that he did have a slight influence and it worked for his team and definitely in their favour.
The TMOs, let's just say they took their time when it came to their decision. And like, I mean, it's no surprise whatsoever when you've been under the microscope for that long. But like, I mean, it's not the top line here. I mean, the performance from the Lions is definitely the top line. But like, is the subtext here a little bit about this is still a little bit of an exhibition for Rugby Union. It is the biggest event every 4 years. And what we have here is a 2 hour and 15 minute game or something like that, the first half of which was pretty disappointing fair. Like, is that something that disappointed you at all, just in terms of what it does for rugby or the lack of what it does for rugby?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't like it at all. I watched it. I'm a big Rassie Erasmus fan. With Munster, everything. He's an amazing coach. But this mind game that's creeping in between let's put something in the back of the head of the officials. I know it's been part of the game of years, but to come out and verbally talk about, show 36 clips, show all the errors that you thought Nick Berry made. You mean, I don't like that in the game. I read an article there yesterday that the All Blacks are now even coming, not, you know, they're obviously always going to say a few things, but they literally, I think Ian Foster said, the head coach said that it was, he's bored alive by watching South Africa, that he had to turn off the game. Like, so they've already started, you know, these mind games for the Rugby Championship. And it just seems like it's kind of going that way. And, you know, I think the talking should be done on the pitch and with officiating. I mean, any coach, any player, you can go back and look at a game and every nearly 90, maybe 80% of the calls could be changed either way, especially at the breakdown, because it's tiny margins. And to now start analysing that, I think it's really taken the game in a dangerous direction.
Yeah, for sure. Just then on some of the changes that you've mentioned there, you said positionally what you think should change. So personnel-wise, who do you see coming into the team? Who do you see dropping out?
Yeah, I definitely think in his column I was reading, Gatland, I definitely think he's going to bring Liam Williams in. I mean, Hogg had a very, very poor game, I thought. He looked at times disinterested, which I couldn't understand. He spoke that Liam Williams was very, very disappointed to not be there. So I'd imagine he's chomping at the bit to get out there. So I think they're looking at, you might get Josh Adams in there as well. Whether he goes with Watson or Van der Merwe, I don't think he'll change all back three. He'll definitely change two out of the three, I would imagine. I'm not too sure about the pack. They played individually good at times, but obviously gain line carries was a big thing. I'd love to see Henderson or Tadhg Byrne in there. Whether he will make those changes, I'm not too sure. And I suppose everyone's talking about that Ali Price, Conor Murray kind of battle, but for me, Ali Price didn't come on and do anything differently. So there's obviously a game plan there, and both nines are just playing what they're being told to.
How do you rediscover that aggression in the space of a week? Because your analysis there is fairly damning, and a lot of people agree with you, Fiona. It'll just be interesting to see how you can actually turn that around in the space of a week. And maybe aggression is actually the wrong word. It's like a street smart to the analysis as well, where you're talking about them kicking and leading to losing possession, and they kept on kicking. And it just seems, if Ireland were doing that, we'd be hammering them. If Munster were doing that, we'd be hammering them. And it just seems that at the very pinnacle of Northern Hemisphere rugby, this is also what's happening.
Yeah, exactly that. It's, I suppose it's, you're not in that coaching setup. You don't know. Obviously, there's game plans involved, but it would be nice to see the players on the pitch, you know, if things aren't going right, changing that up themselves. As I spoke about Chris Harris earlier with the three carries and no meters gain. He's a 13. Maybe he should be telling bigger, I want to carry more, changing up the calls. You know, you want people to dominate that, but you also want people to get involved. And I found at times people kind of were hiding and staying outside and not getting involved. Definitely physicality was big at times. So I don't think they'll be looking at, you know, questioning their aggression. It's just exactly what you said, that street smarts and maybe a couple of penalties they gave away at the breakdown were quite naive at times and definitely need to sort out a set piece, especially in the second half. If you're bringing on a completely new front row, they need to be getting in there firing and they need to be able to control, because we saw at times that's where the South Africans do damage, off that set piece play.
For sure. It's going to be a really interesting build up now to the third and final test. Fiona, great stuff this morning. Thanks a million.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Hopefully a Lions win now.
Hopefully. Fiona Hayes there with us analysing the second test defeat to the Springboks.
It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics. So it's like, it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.